This is Susanna McMonagle, and you're listening to Season 3 of the 5 to 8 Shift podcast for parents. The 5 to 8 Shift podcast and community exists to educate, inspire, and encourage parents throughout their parenthood adventure. Here, we talk about all the things impacting parents today, everything from mental health to technology to faith, teenagers, toddlers, self-care routines, and so much more. We know parenting is tough work, but family life is worth every ounce of effort. We hope you listen in, share with your favorites, and are reminded that you're not alone. We look forward to cheering you on in your own 5 to 8 shift. It's the most important shift of the day. Hey everyone, it's Susanna. Welcome to season 3. I am so thrilled to be doing this yet again. Welcome. Thanks for being here. If you have been listening to the episodes over the last 2 years, I am so grateful. Thanks for being here. And if you're new, thanks for checking us out. Welcome, you belong here. And so season 3, oh my goodness, 2 years ago, when I started this podcast, I had just had a failed adoption and had some time on my hands. I told my boss I wasn't coming back to work for the semester, you know, totally a mental health move. And he was like, okay, he was so wonderful. And then that sweet baby came into my life 10 weeks later, my son Kyler, and he just turned 2. And so here we are. But that whole process really allowed me to spend a lot of time on getting this podcast together. And here we are, 2 years later, and family of 5 with my little buddy and a podcast in season 3. And so much to be grateful for. I have had a great summer. I hope you guys had too. I am really digging the routine of the school year and September and all the things. And I hope you are too. I hope your family is hitting a nice stride. And so we did some traveling this summer. We did some things around the house and had a lot of fun. Really had a lot of fun with the kids. Took some time off from the podcast. But I have been doing some interviews the last couple weeks, and I am so excited for some of the episodes coming up. You guys are going to love them. So one of the things I want to do in season 3 is some series. And so really pick a topic, do a little bit of a deep dive, which, you know, you might think, hey, we're already doing a deep dive. It's a 45-minute episode. But this way we can kind of look at topics from a couple different angles, almost, you know, like getting some different experts really speak into these topics. And so I am so thrilled to bring you my first series, which is Technology and Families, which pretty much every family in the United States of America is really grappling with technology, whether you just gave your kid a phone, whether you have a teen and you're deciding what are the limits and what are, should I track them, should I not track them, whether it's a two-year-old and you're like, how much cocoa melon is too much cocoa melon, huh? Asking for a friend. But this is something I think a lot about a lot. I talk to my friends and colleagues about a lot, and I just really wanted to focus in on that. So I have, so far, 4 great episodes on technology and families. And the first one today is with Letitia Barr. She is fantastic. I loved our conversation so much. So she has a really popular blog called TechSavvyMama.com. And she has done a lot of work on particularly digital safety. And so she is on all these panels. She writes for a lot of different technology outlets. She is a consultant with YouTube Kids. Like, she has really done a lot of work in this field, helping families think about ways that they can keep their kids safe, particularly online. And so today we are talking about digital safety, and that's not just social media. It's all the things. Like, one of the things she talked about was like spam or like weird text messages, and teaching your kids to recognize when it's not somebody they know. And hey, if it's not somebody they know, here's how we respond. Or, you know, if the kids are searching something and they're clicking around and they end up somewhere they're not supposed to be, instead of being fearful that they're going to get in trouble, they raise their hand either at school or they come get their parents and they say, hey, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And that is a teachable moment, teaching our kids how to be safer online. And so she is just a wealth of knowledge. I totally had to have her as my opening episode, and I know you guys are really gonna love her. So I am excited for season three. We're going to be out on the 7s, the 7th, 17th, and 27th of each month. We're kicking off with this Tech and Family series that I am so excited to bring to you guys. And I know you're going to love Leticia's insight today. So as always, if you want to help this podcast, share with your friends, share with your friends on your socials and in real life. And also, we'd love your review. We'd love your review on Apple or Amazon or Spotify. We have a lot more listeners on Spotify these days, which is kind of fun, but most of y'all are listening on Apple. So we would love your review this season. Thanks for being here. Please share this with your friends who are interested in technology and how that's impacting their families. And I'm so glad you're here, investing in your family and learning more and doing the work. So I hope you are having a great fall. Thanks for being here. I'm going to drop you into this conversation with Leticia Barr from Tech Savvy Mama. Y'all have a great day. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 Shift with Susanna. I have Leticia Barr with me here today, and I'm thrilled to continue our technology and family series. As we know, it is pervasive and hard to ignore. And so Leticia's going to talk to us today about digital safety and all kinds of good things. So Leticia, what I am doing for the intros of my podcast season three, I'm asking 5 rapid fire questions to help you introduce yourself. All right.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. So the first one is, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area in Palo Alto, California. So technology central, Silicon Valley is where I grew up.
Oh my gosh. Look at that. And here you are. And now The second question is, where do you live now?
So I live in the Maryland suburbs just outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay. Number 3, what is one of your favorite foods or restaurant you love?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard one because we live, we have access to so many amazing restaurants, Ethiopian, Thai, Vietnamese, Burmese. I mean, and we love to travel the world and I love all food. So there's nothing I will not try.
Ooh, okay.
So that's a hard one. Basically everything. I'm open to everything.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'll accept that for an answer.
Thanks.
Okay. The 4th one is, if you could only have one for the next year, would you choose movies or music?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd choose music.
Okay. All right. Music. I like it. All right. And the last one here in this little set is, so you're talking to us today about digital safety. When did you first sort of consider learning or researching about this topic? Like, did you have a bit of an aha moment, or was it something that really grew as something that you were interested in learning more about?
So that's a great question. So I started teaching in 1998. And when I started teaching, I knew the potential that technology had for students. But that was back when software came in boxes, the internet, the World Wide Web was still very new, if you could imagine that. Sites were not what they were today. And the content that was available is not what we have access to as well. And back then, you know, in 1998, digital cameras, cell phones, we didn't have apps, we didn't have social media. So it was a totally different landscape. So to be honest, I started my blog in 2008 because at the time, you know, if you can think back that far, my daughter was 4 and she was in preschool. And my mother-in-law wanted to give us the hand-me-down computer. And the hand-me-down computer was one of those Pixar-style iMacs, you know, with the screen that you raised and lowered. And so she was just upgrading her computer. And she said, would you like this for your family? And my husband, who also works in the field of technology, you know, he and I both kind of thought about it for a very long time. She was immersed in the world of imaginative play through preschool. And at the same time, we knew the great potential technology had, but at the same time, we didn't want her to be like moth to flame, where she was drawn into this device and it would kind of suck her in. And that was all she would want to do. So if we grappled with these questions as educated professionals, you know, I was a teacher and I trained teachers on using technology in their classrooms when I left my first teaching position. And my husband, who works in the world of technology, if we struggled with these questions, we figured other parents did too. So that was back in 2008. For some perspective, my daughter just started college. Now we know the landscape of technology is very different with apps and smartphones and social media. And so here we are 14 years later, and it's something that I'm still talking about because it's grown and it's evolved and it's changed so much. So that's kind of how I got started. I figured if I had things to, that I was having questions about as a parent, others did too. So I started my blog, techsavvymama.com, to really be a resource. And I used it to share what I knew from training teachers in the classroom about how to integrate technology into their classrooms and how to use it as an educational resource for their kids. So I started out like, how do you evaluate good software, right? Giving parents tips like that, like good websites that your
Yes.
kids could learn from. PBS Kids is still, it was one of the first sites I featured. It's still a favorite site of mine, even though my kids are much older. Things like that are kind of timeless, but the blog has definitely grown and evolved, and certainly digital safety is on the minds of so many parents, especially as we're going back to school in October being Internet Safety Month. So this is a very timely conversation for us to have.
Good, good. Oh my gosh, I feel like I now I have 20 more questions for you now that you've shared all that. So did you
Ask
get
away.
the
It's
computer
your
from your
podcast.
in-laws?
What, sorry?
I said, did you end up taking the computer from your in-laws?
We did end up taking the computer for our in-laws from my in-laws. It was just funny though, because our daughter was so immersed in imaginative play. It was there, but she didn't really use it too much. So
Love
thank
it.
goodness for that. But
Yeah.
now it's different for kids growing up.
It is, when they see devices, their parents are on devices and there's devices in their classrooms, and it's a very inundated part of their lives.
And the pandemic, it also made devices, it really pushed devices to the forefront. It really, kids had to learn through devices because there wasn't any other way in those early days of the pandemic, and certainly in that first year after school shut down. So,
Yeah.
as much as parents wanted to limit screen time,
I
when school
know.
shut down and kids were learning online, screen time limits had to go out the window
Oh
because
my
you
word,
relied on your
yes.
devices for learning, as your primary learning source.
Yeah, it changed a lot of things. And I think we're trying to pedal some of it back, but I think some of it's probably here to stay. And so what I love about your work is approaching, okay, how does this make sense? How does this make sense for our school and our family? And so you have written about conversations that families should be having around digital safety that I thought were really interesting, and some things that I hadn't thought about that. And I think about this stuff quite a bit. And so one of your first questions, which I want you to speak more about, is what does our relationship with technology look like? Tell us about that one.
Think that it's important for us to understand our relationship with technology, because so many times as parents we have an expectation of our kids and their screen time, but our kids notice what we're doing. So if we're not modeling the behavior that we expect, they're not so inclined to uphold the family rules that we set. So if we're sneaking glances at our phones to check a work email or to quickly reply to our text, kids of all ages, they don't have to be teenagers with phones, the youngest kids realize what we're doing. And
Yep.
so they very quickly realize that the rules don't apply to parents, honestly, can be the biggest offenders. So examining our relationship with technology is really important. And I love the digital well-being site because very quickly it's a free tool, and there's an 8-question self-reflection tool. So more than what you asked me to start the podcast. But what these questions do is that they help you evaluate your current experience with technology. And at a glance, it gives you a sense of how you're spending time on your devices, and then really practical tips and tools to help you achieve your personal sense of digital wellness. So that in itself is very critical at how we as users, as adults, use technology and why. It helps us be more mindful. I think we're all trying to, so this just keeps us accountable. So I encourage parents to do it before they have a conversation with their kids, so you can understand where you're coming from. And then also you can share that with your kids, because if you say to your elementary schooler, like, hey, I realize I'm looking at my phone a lot at dinner, and I expect us to put iPads down, and I don't want us to be on our devices, I'm going to work on that too. Can we agree that we work on this together? And you help me stay accountable. And really, these technology rules that we establish, they have to be a partnership.
And I love that because there's a lot of like do as I say, not as I do. And
Yes.
so we are not modeling these great behaviors and then scratching our heads wondering, I wonder why my kid's not following through with that thing that I told them.
As a family, and examining how everyone's their screen time, it just really helps create a more positive conversation about technology use inside and out the house. And it helps you as a family prioritize your and maximize your time together.
Yes. Oh my gosh, absolutely. And so you, one of the questions that you talk about, which you kind of just touched on, you did cut out just a little bit there in the middle. But you address what we should include in our family technology rules. So like what are some examples or snippets of things that you have seen work for families?
Sure. Well, a great starting point is the Smart Talk. The Smart Talk was developed in conjunction with the PTA. And the Smart Talk is a way that families can sit down and create a customized family agreement to set ground rules about technology. And the thing I love about it is that it's so flexible. So the Smart Talk covers safety and privacy, screen time, social media, apps and downloads, texting and calling, reputation and respect, and online videos and cameras. So really 7 different topics, but depending on how old your kids are, the topics you choose, you choose the topics that honestly apply to your family. So the topics that I might choose as a mom of teens would be very different from maybe an elementary school parent who's more concerned about safety and privacy, screen time, and maybe apps and downloads, right? So as your kids grow and change, the Smart Talk is a great tool to come back to because I feel like technology rules shift as our kids get older. So I recommend to parents that they go on the Smart Talk, they choose the topics that are most relevant to them, and sit down with their kids to create this family agreement together. And after you choose these topics and answer these questions together, there are things that kids agree to, but also things that parents agree to. And when you're done, you can print out a copy, sign it and hang it on the fridge or text
So
it to your teen, you know?
is it a web it's a website and then it has quizzes and then it populates some rules based on what your family puts in?
Exactly. So what you do is you go on the smarttalk.org, you click the Get Started button, you choose any of those 7 topics, for ground rules you want to set. And then, based on the topics you choose, the Smart Talk gives you a set of questions. And really, those questions are conversation starters for you to work through with your child. And together, you create this family agreement. And when you're done, you can print it out and sign it, which is great. It doesn't take any personal information and it doesn't take too long to do, which I love. So, the smarttalk.org, totally free, endorsed by the National PTA.
All right. Excellent. I've never heard of it. So I'm
It's
excited to
great.
learn more. Awesome.
Yeah, check it out.
And so to kind of like, I feel like that's kind of a, like a more macro, but like, let's talk about like phones for a little bit. In your work, you talk about, so digital safety. I think what we go to first is like, okay, what are some of like the settings and the functionality? And so like to keep kids safe, like what are some of your like top three tips, if you will, when it comes to like kind of the technical aspect of it?
So the technical aspect is, those I always encourage parents to take a look at the settings for any device, whether it's a phone or a gaming console. Always take a look at the settings because those default settings are not always right for you and your family. So there's a lot of tools out there that can be used and toggled on and off depending on the age of your child and what you want them to access. So settings is the first thing that should be looked at because those are designed to keep us safe. And smartphone carriers, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, they all have built-in safety features designed to keep our kids safe. So adjust those based on your kids' age and honestly how you want them to be using their phone. So things like, scanning your smartphone and monitoring it for malware and unsafe apps, spam calls, but also you can automatically block numbers from calling and texting using some of these built-in settings on your phones.
So some of those, it's interesting you're talking about like spam and some of these other things. I always, when I hear about digital safety, I'm so quick to go to social media.
Right.
But you're reminding me that there's a lot more besides social media that we really need to teach our kids how to use, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about spam, and I did a lesson about, I did a lessons with my 7th grade students about online and digital safety. And, we had conversations about email spam and text spam. And it was funny because they would take screenshots of text spam that they would get to their phones. And then they would email me like, "Hey, Mrs. Barr, look what I just got. I knew it was fake because of X, Y, and Z." So all these things that we had talked about in class, they were getting on their devices via email and text. And so spam is really important for kids to know about because you don't want them clicking on links that could put their data and their privacy at risk.
Yes, and of course, I'm looking at the other side too, which becomes a nightmare for parents and a huge time suck when you have to try to get, your information back or start over.
Right. Because I liken it to a tube of toothpaste, right? Once it's out there, you can't ever get all of it back in the tube, no matter how hard you
Never,
try. So
never, never,
putting some
never.
things in place just from the get-go is really important. And certainly, if you have an elementary schooler who's starting to take the bus or a new middle schooler who's taking the bus for the first time and you need them to stay in touch with you, talk to them about the settings, talk about what they are, how they're designed to keep them safe. Because I think so many times kids, you just say no to kids, but
Yes.
explaining the reason why really helps them understand the safety aspect. So that's critical.
Yeah, and I've come to realize that that's such an important aspect of all of this. You can have all the tools in the world, but it seems like that relationship with your kid and being upfront seems to go a really long way.
Right, because it's not just about online and digital safety, right? I know as a mom of a college student, we've had conversations about alcohol and drinking since she was very young
Yeah.
because kids notice these things too. They notice when we're on our phones. They notice when one of the posts that gets a lot of traffic is what to do when your 9-year-old asks for a beer. And that's just because we were out at a baseball game and our daughter, we were walking by, the giant beer stand with these huge lights and signs, and she just looked at me as we walked by and she said, "Mom, can I have a beer?" And I looked at her because at the time I was working with a talk early, a program of responsibility.org. And so we had been having these conversations about alcohol. So I think she was testing me, but starting conversations about these things when kids are young is so important because it just opens the door to conversations about the harder stuff as they get
Yeah.
older, and it makes kids more comfortable as they grow up, and the conversations honestly can become more serious. But they can feel serious to us, but they aren't if you talk about these things constantly.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing to point out because I do feel like a little like this is so serious. Like, why would I tell my 7-year-old this? But the truth is they're wondering already. Like the beer stand, it's crossing their radar.
Exactly. And kids, their friends are talking about it and they might overhear things. And I think it's important for us to kind of get ahead of that gossip, the gossip mill, the rumor
Yes.
train, and give them the information that they need because we don't have to put everything out there. So many times our kids will come to us with a question and we might jump down their throats and they
Yes.
might feel like they're in trouble. But the better way to go about these conversations is to ask them, "Well, what do you think, or what did you hear?" Because so many times, especially about sex, right? When our kids are
Yes.
younger and they're curious, so many times they have questions just because they're curious, and it doesn't mean, our minds go down that adult rabbit
It's so
hole,
true.
making it the worst thing possible. But if you ask them, "Well, what did you think? What did you hear?"
Yes.
Understand the context of what they're asking, then create an age-appropriate discussion around that single topic in that moment. Use those
Yes.
teachable moments, right?
Yes. And you have me thinking of this hilarious story. So my daughter, she's in first grade. She's on the bus. She comes home last year and she's like, "Mom, did you know there's an F word?" Right. And I'm like, "What? What?" And I'm like, "No, there's not. There's, And then I was like, "Susanna, like, let's have a conversation. This is such a teachable moment." Well, here, the little girl doesn't know what it is. She thinks it has 4 or 5 or 6 letters.
Okay.
And she had basically no idea. And I was like, "You know what?" I was like, "There is, and it's not something we use, and you've never heard it in this home." But I'm just like, why would I not talk about that? I mean, hello.
Right, exactly. You're like, "Oh, what? That three-letter word called fun? Oh, yeah, that's a great word." Yes.
And I just was like, but to your point, I was like so taken aback. I was like,
right, like, oh my gosh, my first grader knows swear words already. It's the worst thing ever.
And this the other little girl is sweet as can be and had no idea. And it was, you know, I think it's funny now, but I was like, okay, let's, you know, because I want her to come to me when she has questions and it's really important. And the same thing goes with things they see on the internet or ways that we try to make sure that they are, you know, not just the settings, but like that they feel like they have agency and how their experience works and, you know, making it fit for them at an age appropriate level, right?
Exactly. And, you know, the things they see on the internet, you know, kids, they're going to school with Chromebooks. In our school district, everyone has a device now. Everybody has a Chromebook. Yeah. That's a school issued Chromebook. And so one thing I remember talking to my students about when I was a first grade teacher is that those ads, you know, they can trick you into clicking on them. And very soon you get down a rabbit hole and you get so flustered because you know you're not in the right place. Honestly, these things still happen in the classroom. But you get really flustered. You worry that your parent or your teacher, you're going to be in big trouble because you clicked on something you weren't supposed to. But you know what? I always encourage students and kids to just go to a parent, just raise their hand quietly and just say, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Can you please help me? And as a parent, like, don't get mad at them. Like, just say, oh, I see where you were trying to go, but here's how you can get out of this situation without endlessly clicking and jeopardizing your data and your
And
even though you as a parent might be freaking out, just like, okay, calm down. Like you did take a step back and like, you're not in trouble, right? Yes. That's the first thing, because if they always feel like they're in trouble, they're never going to come to us.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah. And so one of the things you have me thinking about is, you talk a little bit about smartphone monitoring. What are some of the tools that are resources that you've come across that you really like?
Sure. So smartphone monitoring, it's really important. It's something that you should, if you're giving your child their own phone for the first time, you should put monitoring on it. And really, again, that's designed to keep them safe. But talk to them about the device, the pros and cons of the device. On one hand, the device is designed for you to keep in touch with each other. It's a way of communication. But, you know, kids should understand things like spam. They should understand things like, you know, friends who eventually, when they're texting their friends, that sometimes friends in a moment can be not such good friends. Yeah. And so things like smartphone monitoring are good to put in place and to explained from the get-go, just as a safety mechanism. So one of my, besides checking the settings that come on your phone, one of my favorite tools is honestly Bark. Bark is a wonderful tool that parents can use. And Bark has a paid, they have a free version and they have a paid version. It's a way for parents to monitor kids' smartphone activity without necessarily invading their privacy.
So, okay, tell me more.
Yeah, what Bark does is it monitors content, it monitors screen time, and it helps to filter websites. So monitoring content, that means you can get alerts for issues like bullying, predators, sexual content, and more. And I know as a parent, like parents who are first giving their kids smartphones, like that's really concerning. Those are all very scary topics.
Yeah.
But those are things you want to know. And Bark helps us. Bark is constantly monitoring. So it helps to, their algorithms help to look for those topics and give parents a high level, you know, they alert parents at a high level about what's going on. Screen time, you can create custom daily screen time schedules for your child's device. So that's a really good thing for kids to have in place as they're getting their phone. You know, you probably want to have a rule for parents of kids who are first getting phones, like maybe you plug them in downstairs, not in a kid's bedroom, in a central place so they can charge overnight. Yeah. So managing screen time through an app like Bark helps to create that custom schedule just to make sure that there's some balance built in to a child's day. And then websites, filtering websites. So Bark works to block access to specific websites or even whole categories. So games, you can toggle on and off. So different things. There's a lot of different things that Bark does, but it's really a robust monitoring tool that's just designed to stay on top of your kids' online activity and communication without invading their privacy. So high-level alerts about all kinds of topics, and so much more. It monitors over, it's constantly growing, over 30 social media platforms,
Wow.
texting, and also email accounts. So on my site, when I talk about Bark, I have a full review of how it works. I installed it on my phone just to see
Okay.
how it works, in addition to installing it on my kids' phones. But, you know, so when I was, I have a great example on the blog post about a friend was texting me a picture of a cocktail menu because she and her husband were out to dinner. Bark searched even the words on images, and it notified me that there was a conversation about alcohol.
Oh my
So as a
gosh.
parent, like that stuff is really helpful to know. But I thought it was funny from an adult perspective,
Yeah,
and certainly
it
some of my friends were texting me with using profanities, and Bark also let me know about that. So it's really, you know, so install it, you know, we were talking earlier about understanding our usage. So maybe install Bark on your own phone as a parent
Yeah.
to really get a
That's
sense of
very
how you're used,
interesting.
what things you're doing on your device.
Oh, that's very interesting. So, does it send you, can you do the settings? I imagine it sends you a report of some sort. So, is it in real time or once a week, or is that something that you've set up?
It is in real time. So at any time, you can go to the Bark app that you've installed on your phone, and the app is also installed on your child's phone. If they have social media accounts, you will give Bark permission to scan those accounts. So Bark runs in the background. It doesn't slow down your phone or anything from what I've noticed, but it works in the background, and it gives you a really high level alert. So it'll send you a push notification if it notices something really concerning, and you as a parent can decide how you want to be notified, if you want those push notifications, or if you just want to open the app and check periodically your dashboard. The dashboard is really easy to read, and it gives parents a very high level overview of what their kids may be doing on their phones.
You know, and I obviously I've read your blog post, and one of the things that came up in your screenshot as an option was like the self-harm or suicidal
Yes.
content. And I think that that was one for me that I was like, what a tool for parents, you know, that you can just step right in if you need to and have an important conversation, you know, and it might not be your kid. It might be somebody confiding in your kid, and your kid maybe isn't sure what to do with that.
Absolutely. And that's something that kids, you know, can really hang on to and feel so responsible for because they don't
Yes.
want to be seen as a bad friend by violating this friend's trust. But at the same time, I know as a teacher that there are kids in crisis out there
Yeah.
who are, you know, who on any given day they are functioning at a very high level, but there's a lot going on there. And that's really important to know about. So, not just for your own child, but also for the good of community, that's essential. So, not just self-harm and suicidal content, but cyberbullying, depression, that's really
Yes.
important to know about. The drug and alcohol content I mentioned, but hate speech too, any sexual content, violence. There's a huge list that Bark has that they monitor for. And also, if there's you know, if there's any sort of grooming going on, if Bark notices a pattern of grooming, they'll work with parents and local authorities to
Wow.
make sure that they're catching predators. So it's a pretty robust app, and honestly, like worth every penny.
Yeah, I mean, you've sold me. It's, you know,
It's
you've
better to
sold
be in
me
the
for
know.
sure. Now, and this leads me to my next question. How, like, and maybe this is not the best way to put it, but like, what grade would you give parents on, let's, you know, like, are we using the resources available to us to monitor our kids? Are we too busy? Are we talking about it but not? 'Cause I am seeing a lot all over the map, and I know you speak to a lot of parents. Are we moving the needle? Are we showing up better, or are we still kind of like playing catch up?
You know, to be honest, I think it's all over the map. I think there are some parents who are really great about understanding what tools are available
Yeah.
to make sure our kids are being safe and that we're having these conversations. But at the same time, I think the landscape of social media and our kids is very overwhelming for many parents. I know when I
Yeah.
give PTA talks, parents are like, oh my gosh, this was so helpful. I'm so glad. Like, you gave me three things I'm going to do when I get home. And I think parents just need to know what is out there that's good. Because honestly, I get a lot of pitches and I can sort through what things are good and what things are okay and what things are honestly terrible. But that's my job, right? And I take it
Yeah.
really seriously. Your average parent, who has time for that?
I
So
know.
I take my job very seriously. And the things I mention on my site, if I wouldn't use them with my kids and my family, if I wouldn't recommend them to friends, they're not on my site. So it's very deliberate. The things that are on my site are things that I wholeheartedly recommend for other families because I truly believe in them. Because it is a very overwhelming landscape out there. We're always trying to keep up with what the next social
Yeah.
media app is. And what our kids are, how our kids are using it, as we try to maybe learn it ourselves. But I know sometimes, I'm not on TikTok. There's just not enough time in the day to be on every, for parents to be on every platform.
So
I'm
true.
also not on TikTok because my kids aren't really using TikTok. So
Yes.
that's okay. My students wanted me to get on TikTok, which I thought was hilarious. They're like, come on, Mrs. Bard, teach her talk. I'm like, look, I can either create great lessons and have this amazing relationship with you, or I can film all my teacher content for teacher talk. Which would you
The
like?
truth. Yes, I know. We all have thresholds and limits. It's
We
true.
really do, and I think we have to be mindful of that. And if you don't know, there are plenty of parents out there and resources available to you. So just knowing if you're really overwhelmed, where to go is key. So if it's not me, there are others in the blogosphere and on the internet who can provide really good sound information.
Yeah, and I think probably, a good tip there is find the two or three bloggers or experts that really resonate with you and like deep dive, because there's great information out there. We just have to kind of prioritize going and getting it.
Absolutely. And knowing what those resources are is key, like you said.
Yeah, and so okay, so I didn't realize that you were teaching seventh graders right now. I knew you taught in the past, but one of the things that you talk about is how we can show up in kindness in the digital space. And this is just such, and I don't hang out with a lot of middle schoolers. I have little kids and I teach college kids. So they're kind of like this, and I love that you talk about this. Tell us a little more about teaching kids to be kind online.
I mean, teaching kids to be kind online, teaching kids to be kind in general is important online or off. And I think
Yes.
sometimes there's so much drama that I've seen happen at school because of something that's blown up on kids' apps, right? And through text. And so what my job as a teacher is to understand really what my students are going through on a day-to-day basis
Yeah.
and how very quickly these words, they don't get blown out of proportion because they are real words, but how we can navigate around these things when there are real feelings behind these words, and
Yes.
the giver, the person who's saying them and the person who's receiving them, there are big emotions behind all of these things. So I think the most important thing to remember is kindness is important online and off. And one tool I really love for encouraging kindness is Google's Be Internet Awesome. Google Be Internet Awesome is a free, multifaceted program. It teaches kids the fundamentals of digital citizenship and safety. But at its core, it really encourages kids to be smart, kind, brave, so many things, so many key tenets that we want our kids to uphold in their daily lives. So that's so important for our students. So, Google Be Internet Awesome. It has resources for parents to have these conversations with kids. It has free lesson plans for teachers. And it also has a free web-based game called Innerland, which is super fun for kids. I've had my middle schoolers play it. But it lets kids practice what to do in different scenarios to reinforce being a good digital citizen. So they practice things like how to handle things like spam, right? Like how they prevent falling from for fake tools, right? Or or situations that aren't always real. It teaches them about securing their secrets, like how important personal privacy and security are, why we don't want to click on those links that might come through as spam, even though they might look real. But another big tenet is sharing with care. And I think for our young digital citizens, as kids get started in the realm of social media and they have phones and they're taking pictures and they're sharing things, we know as adults, good and bad news can travel really fast
Oh, yeah.
online. And sometimes our kids, because their brains aren't fully developed, they send pictures or they say things without thinking about the consequences. So sharing with care is one of my favorite tenets of Be Internet Awesome, just because it encourages responsible communication, which our kids need to do face to face anyways. So it
Yeah.
reinforces that.
Yeah. And I think there's some things. You know, it's the whole idea of like a troll or something. You know, it's like things people would never say in person, but then they say
Absolutely.
online. And the whole sharing with care thing is so important because you might not share that photo in real life, but something about the internet makes people really brave, I guess.
Right. Or you get mad at someone, and in that
Yeah.
moment, you send this terrible picture to 10 of your friends, and then they have it, and it was never meant to be shared. As I was saying, the toothpaste, right? Once it's out there,
Yes.
it's hard to get back. So those under having kids understand that if somebody takes a picture of you and you don't like it, have them delete it because you don't know where it could go.
Yes. I
So that's
mean,
important too.
there's a lot of adults who need that lesson too, let's just say.
That's very true, to be honest. And I think the other thing that I love about Google Internet, Be Internet Awesome, is that it encourages kids to be brave. So when they see something happening to a friend, it empowers them to be an upstander instead of a bystander, so
Yes.
that they'll feel confident saying something like, "Hey, that's not okay," or "I didn't like that you said that to me," or "I didn't like those words." And just reinforcing that among our kids is important too.
It is. It really is. And I think, you know, I mean, a lot of this is conversations we didn't have to have as kids because we didn't live, you know, so digitally connected. And I feel like it's really important to teach them how to be those good citizens because, you know, I teach at college, as I've already mentioned, and I have some students who come in and they are almost at the other end. They've never been allowed to have any social media or technology. Well, now they have a phone. And I think on some level, they're at a disadvantage because their parents didn't help teach them some skills while they were in the house. And they almost fall off the wagon because they, you know, like they can't rein it in. They're up all night, you know, just video gaming or whatever. And that doesn't serve anybody well either.
You're absolutely right. I wrote a post years ago for Common Sense Media, when my daughter there was there's a there's a bit there's a big movement, and possibly some of your listeners have heard of this, the wait till eighth, the
Yes.
movement to wait till eighth grade till you give your kids a phone. And I wrote a post for Common Sense Media about why giving my daughter a smartphone when she was in sixth grade was the best decision ever, because I felt like and I understand the reason why some families want to wait till eighth grade, but the way our school system is, elementary school is K to five,
Yep.
middle school is sixth through eighth, and then high school, of course, starting in ninth grade. I feel like if I had waited till eighth grade, I would have only had a year for us to work together on having these conversations, solving some of these issues, and really doing these things together. Whereas sixth grade, there was so much that happened in middle school. Kids were coming together from different elementary schools into
Yeah.
the same middle school. Friendships were shifting. Puberty is huge, right? There's this whole transition that happens in middle school. And I, as a parent, just wanted to make sure that I was providing solid guidance for my daughter as
Yeah.
all these things were changing around her. So for us, it made sense to give her a phone in sixth grade. It was also the first time she was taking the bus. We had always walked to our elementary school before,
Okay.
and all of a sudden she was taking the bus. So not only for communication purposes, but also we had some really good conversations about friendships and online and offline friendships and the
Yeah.
kinds of content that people send and you might receive. And she was just getting started in social media, like Instagram was new back when she was in middle school. So
Yes.
our conversations were really centered around Instagram, but then later it turned into Snapchat and TikTok. So That was a really important first step for us as a family. So I know that differs for every family, but I really think it's important to think about what makes sense for your kids and for your family, because that's another question I get asked quite often. What is the right age? And for us, it was sixth grade rather than eighth. So do what's right for your family, because what's right for one family isn't right for every family.
Exactly. That is, gosh, that is so true. You know, one of the last questions I want to ask you here, and this is all just so helpful, Letitia, but like what in your opinion, has a much changed? Let's say I was parenting even 10 years ago, well, 2012 versus 2022. What is has the playing field changed dramatically in the last 10 years? Meaning, are tech and social media companies not sneakier, but like are they just more invasive because they're in our schools? Like, are they more part of our lives, or is the parenting game when it comes to technology still about the same?
Even before the pandemic, the pandemic ratcheted things up a huge amount. But at this time, social media is a lifeline for kids. Social media is critical in keeping connected throughout the pandemic for good and, for good reason, because everybody was at home. But also, we saw some really insidious sides of social media and the internet start to pop up. So I think that's a really great question, because I think the landscape is constantly shifting. And I think the one big thing now, too, is how much data is being collected about our kids. There's a reason why, the Child Online Protection Act prohibits companies from targeting kids under the age of 13. And kids aren't really supposed to be on social media and apps, and they shouldn't even really have email accounts until they're 13. And that has to do with the data that's being collected behind the scenes. I think the understanding how much data is being collected about us in any given moment is huge. And so companies like Apple, they've put in some privacy features and things like that in order to keep users safe. But that's also another really overwhelming aspect of technology right now, is that data piece. And how do you limit what data is out there? And really, I don't, that's a difficult thing right now, because it's exploded.
It is. And to your point, it's constantly shifting. So you get a good groove with your family and your kids 10. Well, 18 months later, now they're 12. Now they're in middle school. And now there's a new social media app you know nothing about. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Absolutely. It is a lot of work, and that's why I can understand how parents feel very overwhelmed, and it's hard to keep up. At any given day, we as parents are always doing the best we can, but oh my gosh, of many days, and I'm sure you feel the same way too, we're like, oh my gosh, my best is not good enough because of the laundry list of things that I have to tackle at any given moment.
It's
So
so
take a step
true.
back, know where to go, and what resources are out there that can kind of help lessen the burden. I think that's really key for parents. So I hope I didn't stress anybody out with this
No,
call
I think this is
to
amazing. I
ask.
mean, because it's nice to be like, stay on top of it, stay on top of it, but like, and do what, and do what? And I feel like we know we need to do some things. And what I love about this conversation is I feel like I walked away with some great tools and some tips and some ways that we can kind of be better prepared. And Letitia, I'm so glad you're doing this work. And I know you talk to a lot of schools and a lot of parents. And no, I don't think you're stressful at all. I think you're really helpful.
Okay, good. Because my goal is to be a resource and to provide like tangible tips. Like when you walk away, I want you to do three things. Like one, examine your own social media use and your own technology use with the Google digital well-being tool, right? If your kid has a smartphone, look into Bark, or if you're thinking about getting a smartphone, look into Bark. And then also, let them, if they're going to have some screen time, let them play on the Internet Awesome's Innerland game, because it's really fun and cute. Kids get lost down that rabbit hole. So
Yeah,
it's a
I
good
know. I'm
one.
thinking about
It's
making
free
my
time for
college
good.
students play it because I teach a ma mass media course, and I'm like,
There you go. Absolutely.
I'm
Yes.
thinking this could be good for down
Yeah.
the road. Well, Letitia, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy and you are doing the good work out there. How can my listeners connect with you and learn more about what you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my website is techsavvymama.com, and I'm sure you'll link to it in your notes. I'm also online everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My username is Tech Savvy Mama. Very consistent throughout all my platforms. However, I'm not
Awesome.
on TikTok yet. So maybe sometime soon. We'll see. But yes. And I always welcome, there's a contact page on my website. If one of your listeners has a question, they are welcome to use the contact page to get in touch with me. I do read whatever comes in. So
Awesome.
please don't hesitate to reach out if you have a question about something specific or a certain monitoring tool or a problem or a question. I'm here for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for your time and your insight and for doing this very important work and for being with me today.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Be sure to share with us on Instagram what you liked most about the episode by tagging me at Susanna.McMonagle. And lastly, if you want more information about the 5 to 8 shift, you can check out our website, the5to8shift.com. We'll see you guys next time.